morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Lamed Dalet. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as Zechin Shmasliba Gavriela Bashmuel. In the middle of a very basic machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel regarding the nature of the chatin ethic payment of a tam. An animal does damage to another animal. Or to a person, but an animal does damage to another animal. So the halacha is that if the animal does not have a record, and the damage that's done is through Karen, the animal gores or does something else which is not beneficial to the animal, and so therefore it was very unusual that a behemoth, that a normal docile animal, is going to be attacking another person. So the owner of the animal does not need to pay full damages, but rather chatzi nezek. We already discussed earlier in the mesechta whether the chatzi nezek payment is tashlumim. Is it remuneration, or is it a knas, or is it just that the Torah imposes a fine? Now, what the discussion we're having, which seemingly is unrelated, the Gemara does not connect the two. The discussion we're having in the Gemara is what is the nature of this payment of chatzi nezek? We know the halach is very clear. The Mishnah said it earlier in the Masechta that the tam payment is only coming migufo; it only comes from the body of the animal, meaning that the half payment that is demanded of the owner of the animal cannot exceed the value of the animal. So if the animal, let's say it's 200 zuz, so the damages that are going to be paid cannot exceed 200 zuz because it is only coming from the body of the animal. So once we establish that the payment is coming from the body of the animal, what does that make the nizak as it relates to the animal that did the damage? Does it make him a partner in the animal? Or does it just simply mean that he has a lien on the animal so that the obligation, if necessary, can be collected from the animal? This issue is a machlokas between the Tanaim, between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And if you look back in the bottom of Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara introduces us to this machlokas formally, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the animal is there just for the purposes of appraisal, meaning that because we're capping the damages at the value of the animal, so basically we're going to take the animal to Beis Din, and Beis Din is going to put an appraisal on the animal, so that we now know what the cap is going to be. But it does not mean, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that the nizak is actually a de facto partner in the animal. It just simply means that we're appraising the animal. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Huchlat Hashor. And Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Huchlat Hashor, which means that the nizak is actually becoming now a de facto partner in the animal. And when we say partner in the animal, it could very well be that he's going to become a full owner in the animal. So let's say, for example, the animal that did the damage was valued at 200. The animal that was damaged was 200. The damage was a total damage. Damage, meaning the animal went from 200 down to 100. So now you have $200 worth of damage. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, so you, the owner of the nizak, are just simply going to take what is rightfully yours, meaning the animal which is the mazik, because that's 200, it's 200 zuz. Now, not the best example, because you pay chatzi tam, you only pay half damages. So, but still, the point being is that you now become the de facto partner in that animal. That animal now is partially yours. The mazik, as we're going to be learning over the course of this morning, he can't do anything with that animal. The animal does not, in totality, belong to him. According to Rabbi Shmuel, however, no. The animal still belongs to the mazik. It's just that in the event of he has nowhere else to pay, so the lien of that is going to be coming from the animal, but the animal fundamentally belongs to him, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, and then as we learned in yesterday's daf, with the machlokas, what's the nekudah machlokas? So the Gemara points out that when the Torah says, you're going to sell the animal which was alive, meaning the attacking animal, and you're going to divide its money. So the question was, who was that pasuk addressing? Was that pasuk addressing Beis Din, or was that pasuk addressing the mazik and the nizak? The Gemara points out that's the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk is addressing Beis Din, and the Torah is telling Beis Din, you Beis Din have to make an appraisal on the animal and find out how much it's worth. But according to Rabbi Kiva, the Torah is addressing actually the mazik and the nizak. And the Torah is telling the mazik and the nizak, you have to, in other words, the nizak now is the de facto owner of the animal. Okay. Why half? So again, we go back to what we said earlier in the Masechta. Either really you don't have to pay anything because it was so unexpected that the animal did damages, and so half is a kenas, or you should have been more careful, but because the animal doesn't have a record, the Torah cuts you a break. But it's really tashlum, it's really remuneration. Those are the two possible svaras. Okay.
If it wasn't really being,
that's a different category of nezek. We're just this halach of Tam versus Mord is just limited to Karen. It's just by the damages of Karen. Okay. All right. With that stated, we are now on the very top of Lama Gimel and Beis. We got to the two dots. That's not two dots, but we got to Tanirav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava. Okay, it is a little bit down on Lama Gimel and Beis. And the Gemara is going to be quoting the following Braisa. Braisa was over by Rav Tachlifa, who was Bar Ma'aravi, was from Eretz Yisrael. And he said in front of Rabbi Abba, Machru ein Machar, Higdishu Mukdash. Now the Braisa is confusing. The Braisa says that if the Mazik were to sell the animal, meaning this is after the animal did the damage, and the animal now is again, Machlok between Rabbi Kivin and Rabbi Shmuel, exactly how much the animal is owned by the Nizak. By the damaged party. So the Braisa says that if the animal was sold, ein machor. Sale's not a good sale. But higdishu, but if the animal was sanctified, it was dedicated to the base of Mikdash, Mukdash. So then the animal is sanctified. So the Gemara says, well, that's confusing. Machro man. So the Gemara says, well, who sold it? Ilam amazik, machorin machor. So now, if you want to tell me that the Mazik was the one who was trying to sell it, and the Braisa's telling us that the sale's not a valid sale, so money Rabbi Kivahi. Well, the Gemara says, fine. Well, you know why it's not? Then you know what the explanation would be? Explanation would be very simple. It doesn't belong to the Mazik. Because once his animal did damage, so then the Nizak becomes de facto a partner in the animal. And so therefore the Mazik no longer has a right to sell it. So the Gemara says, so I understand that. That makes perfect sense. But Damar Huchlat Ashur. And that subscribes with the position of Huchlat Ashur. Fine. But Vihigdisha Mugdash, but now consider. Because then the Braisa says, but if the Mazik were to be Makdish the animal, so then you're Makdish the animal, that's fine. Why in the world should that be fine? If the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Akiva, that means that the Nizak is the de facto owner of the animal. He is a partner in the animal. And so therefore it's not within the right of the Mazik to be Makdish the animal. So what could the Braisa possibly mean when the Braisa says that if you're Makdish the animal belongs to Hekdesh? So the Gemara says, also Rabbi Yishmael, Damar Yusam Ashur. That takes us to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, where Rabbi Yishmael says that the animal is backing the obligation, but the Nizak doesn't own it, and so therefore if the Mazik wants to be Makdish Ashur, he certainly is within his right to do so. So Yusam Hashur Bezdin. So Ela Nizak Machro, Ela Nizak. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's try it this way. Let's try reading the Brice in the following manner. We're talking about who's making an attempt to sell the animal. So let's say that the one attempting to sell the animal is the Nizak, the damaged party. So the Gemara says, Machro Ena Machro Mani Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, fine, I certainly understand the sale not being a valid sale, because now the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel says that the Nizak does not own the animal. I get that. However, Mukdash Aslan Rabbi Akiva. But then it says, assuming we're still talking about the Nizak, if you're Makdash the animal, the animal belongs to Hekdesh. To that, the Gemara says, what is that talking about? How can the animal belong to Hekdesh? That's very difficult to understand. If the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel, the animal does not belong to the Nizak. He certainly has no right to be Makdish the animal. So the Gemara says, okay. So now what we're trying to do is understand the Braisa is clearly making a distinction between the sale of the animal and a person being Makdish the animal. And either the Braisa is going like Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, it's got to go like one, it can't go like both. So the Gemara says, fine. La'ola mazik v'divrei hakol. The Gemara says, fine. The person who's making an attempt to do the sale and the consecration is the mazik. And the Gemara says, now, v'divrei hakol machrei n'machrei afilu Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, now, in terms of selling the animal, you can't sell the animal, because even if you're Rabbi Shmuel's position, even if you're Rabbi Shmuel, who says, yusam ashur, which means that, yeah, the Nizak doesn't own the animal. Great, the Nizak doesn't own the animal. But the animal is backing the obligation. And so therefore the mazik really shouldn't be selling the animal. There's a shibud on the animal. So fine. So even according to Rabbi Shmuel, he cannot sell the animal. So he gdish muktish afilu Rabbi Akiva. Now, if you're muktish the animal, the animal has kedusha even according to Rabbi Akiva. Now that's a tremendous chiddush, because according to Rabbi Akiva, they both, the mazik and the nizak, now become owners of the animal after the nezik is done. So how can the mazik be maktish the animal? Part of the animal does not belong to him. So how do you understand this part of the brisa? So the Gemara says, Mishum de Rabbi Abahu. So the Gemara says, when we say that the animal is muktash, we don't really mean the animal is muktash. We mean we're subscribing to Rabbi Abahu's viewpoint, which is, Yama Rabbi Abahu, Gzera Shama Yama Hektish Yotse Below Pijon. We know that Rabbi Abahu says, once there is a perception that something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's not true, but once there's a perception that something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want it to walk away from Hektish with no pigeon whatsoever. Because then people will be thinking erroneously, oh, I see. In other words, something belongs to Hektish, and I don't know how it happened, but it kind of just walked away from Hektish. Oh, okay, fine. And we don't want that. In other words, we don't want that perception to exist. So once there's a perception that something belongs to Hektish, and here the perception is very simple. It's seemingly the owner, meaning the mazik, was maktish the animal. Now again, if you know the halacha, and you know that according to Rabbi Akiva, once damages are done, the nizik becomes the part owner of the animal, and therefore the mazik has no right to do so. Great, that's if you know all that. But at face value, the mazik was just maktish's animal. So there's a perception now that it belongs to Hektish. Once that perception exists, we don't want it to walk away from Hektish without Pijon. So the Gemara says, in that regard, we're saying it belongs to Hektish. Not because it really does, simply because there's a Pijon necessary. Tana Rabbanan Tushur Tam Shehizik. The Bryce over here. Now, the Gemara is not going to identify who the author of the Bryce is. It is both Rashi and Tosfos' opinion that the author of the Bryce are coming up. It belongs to Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. That's the simplest way to say it. Although, it's not that simple, but right now, for our purposes, let's say it like Rashi said, let's say it like Tosos. The author of the upcoming Brisa is Rabbi Shmuel. Short Tam Shehizik. So let's say you have an animal which is a Tam and does Nezik through Karen. Ashlo Hamad Bedin Machr Machr Hikdisha Mukdash. Before Hamad the Bedin, so if the owner of the animal, meaning the Mazik, if he wants to sell the animal, fine. If he wants to be Makdish the animal, that's fine. Shach Tavnas Nam Bematan Masha Sawasui. He wants to Shach the animal, he wants to give it away as a gift. What's done is done. Misha Ahmad Bedin Haft. However, after Hamad Bedin Machro Eino Machur, then he cannot sell it. Higdishu Eino Mukdash, then he cannot be Makdash it. Shacht of Nasa Manatana Loasav Lo Klum. And if he were to shacht it or to give it away as a gift, he has done nothing. Okay. It's hard to say he's done nothing. He shacht in the animal. But in other words, it won't affect his obligation whatsoever. So Kidmu Balechovas Vihigbiu. Now let's say he had creditors, and they're coming and they're collecting, and he's got nothing to pay them. This is now the mazik we're talking about. And the mazik's creditors. So they're coming after him. And kidmu balei chovos vehigbiu bein chav ad shelo hizik, bein hizik ad shelo chav. And here, it does not matter the order. Meaning, did his animal damage first? Or, what did he already have outstanding obligations first? The Braisa says it does not matter. Lo asav lo klum. When the creditors come and collect, what they've done is nothing. Meaning, the Niza can go over to the creditors and say, look, I'm really sorry, I know you owed money. Listen, I'm just as upset with this mazik as you are. So, and I know he owes you money, but that is my animal. Now, I'm going to be very careful the way I say it, because I'm saying it's my animal. I know it sounds like Rabbi Akiva, and I'm telling you, because Rashi and Tosfos both say, that the author of this brisa is Rabbi Shmuel. But the animal shaykh to me, because that animal did damage to my animal, and I have a shaykh who's in that animal. Therefore, I'm coming and taking it from you. Lefisha ein mishtam ala migufo, because this is a short tam, and a short tam is paid migufo. So therefore, the nizak is entitled to this animal, even if creditors came and take the animal, and even if, this is a bigger chiddush, and even if the creditors actually preceded the nezek, still the nizak is allowed to take the animal. Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that in more detail. Just wait. First, we're going to present the Braisa. Then the Gemara is going to pick apart every line of the Braisa. So let's just wait before before asking. Now, we're going to do the same thing again, but in the second round of the Braisa, when instead of the animal being a tam, the animal is going to be a muad. Now, we know the fundamental difference is that by a muad, so the mazik has to pay nezek shalom, has to pay full damages plus the it's min haliyah, it's out of pocket, meaning it's not going to be capped at the value of the animal. So muad chuhuzak ben shalom ad bedin, ben shalom ad bedin, machra machra hikdisha muktash, shachto, v'nasam atanam ashas asui. So before hamad bedin, the owner of the muad could do whatever he wants. He could sell the animal. He can be makdish the animal. He can give it as a gift. He can shecht it. Now, kidmu balechovos vihigbiu. Now, let's say his creditors come and his creditors want to get paid. Creditors of the mazik, and so they're coming out after him. He's got nothing. They're coming after his animal. So bein chavat shelo hizik, bein hizik shelo chav. And again, it doesn't matter which comes first, whether the damage comes first or whether the obligation, the outstanding obligation, came first. Masha also lefi shemishdam elam min aliyah. So here the Braisa says the creditors are entitled to take it because his obligation to pay, although once again the animal certainly is there to back the obligation, but fundamentally the obligation is not coming from the animal. It's coming out of pocket. Okay. That is the Braisa. So what the Braisa is basically sharing with us is the basic difference between Tam versus Muad. And here we go now. The Gemara is going to pick apart the Braisa line by line. Amar Machor Machor. So the Braisa started off by saying in the case of the Tam that the sale is going to be a valid sale. Now, if you think about it, it's a little bit difficult to understand. What do you mean the sale is going to be a valid sale? Even before Hamad Bedin, who cares it's before Hamad Bedin? This animal is going to be serving as the payment for the damages. So what does that mean the sale is a good sale? So the Gemara gives a one-word explanation, Liraja. It means that at this point in time, because we haven't gone to court yet, if he would like to rent it out, so he may do so. Now, as Rashi points out, and this is really the tip-off for Rashi, the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel, meaning if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, so then the mazik is not even allowed to rent it out. Because the moment that nezek is done, according to Rabbi Akiva, the animal now partly is owned by the nizak. The mazik certainly now at that point in time has no option of renting it out. So the idea in the Braisa that the mazik can rent it out before we go to court, so obviously the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel, because it means it's still his animal with the rights to rent it out and, you know, rent it out for plowing. Hikdishu Mukdash. Now, if he's makdish the animal, the animal belongs to Hekdesh. Now, as we pointed out just a moment ago, how did you understand that? Meaning, how can the animal belong to Hekdesh? It is Meshubad. Now, again, the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel. But still, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is a lien that this animal has. So the Gemara says, Mishum de Rabbi Abahu.
Explain Raji again. Explain Raji.
Yeah, plowing. The word Raji means plowing, and it means that before Hamad Bedin, the owner of the animal can rent it out for plowing, and he can collect, even though this animal is going to end up going to the Nizam. But until that point in time, he can rent it out. Now, the Gemara says, Mishum de Rabbi Abahu. So the Gemara says, like the position of Rabbi Abahu, meaning what we learned a couple of minutes ago, that according to Rabbi Abahu, once there's a perception of something belonging to Hekdesh, here, once again, it doesn't belong to Hekdesh. And again, the reason why it doesn't belong to Hekdesh is because the animal is going to be serving as payment for the damages. So it doesn't belong to Hekdesh. But once there's a perception of something going to Hekdesh, we don't want it to walk away from Hekdesh without giving some sort of token redemption. That's what the Braisa means when it says Mukdash and Mukdash. Okay. I'll just pause here for just a moment in this Braisa, in this explanation of the Braisa. Tosfos over here is bothered by a very simple question. The animal has a shibud, meaning, again, the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel. That's the simplest way to say it. That's the way we're presenting it. It's Rashi, it's Tosfos. The author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel, which means that the animal is Meshubad. Now, generally speaking, when something has a lien on it, so the lien is very strong, meaning that the lien is there to satisfy the obligation. We also know that there are certain things that break a lien. And it happens to be that one of the things that breaks a lien is Hekdesh. Right? Chametz on Pesach breaks a lien. Hekdesh breaks a lien. Shichur Eved breaks a lien. And I think I have covered all three notable examples of what breaks a lien. So Tosfos over here asks a wonderful question. So if the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel, and the only thing that the Nizak has on this animal is simply a lien on this animal, and the owner of the animal wants to be makdish the animal, so why don't we say that the hektish breaks the lien? Tosos mishum de Rabbi Abao, ava belo Rabbi Abao lo kadosh mishum de kedushas damim aim afkas midei shibud. So Tosfos, in just two lines, asks and answers the question. So why over here are we not talking about hektish breaking the lien? So Tosfos says, because we know there are two levels of hektish. There's kedushas aguf and kedushas damim. The only thing which breaks a lien, which frees a shibud, is only going to be kedushas aguf, not kedushas damim. We must be talking about cystosis over here, where the animal in question is a bamum, and so therefore the only kedusha that we're talking about is kedushas damim, and that doesn't break a lien. Only kedushas aguf is going to break a lien. That's how Tosos responds to that. If you'd like to see, there's more in this Tosos, because Rabbi Natan doesn't agree with that distinction. But in the meantime, however, that's an interesting side note. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara is analyzing the first part of the Brisa of Anasim Atana Masha Asu Asu Laraja. The Gemara says, if you want to gift it, so you may do so. And again, let's just ask a simple question. How can you gift it? The animal has a shibun, so you can just simply give it away to somebody. And again, the Gemara says, Laraja, again, for plowing. Meaning, for the temporary usage of the animal. Right, for the interim use of the animal, so you want to give it to your friend in order to so that he can plow, you may do so. Now the Gemara says, now you shechted the animal. Consider. The Mazik now owes an Nizak money, and because it's a Tam, the damages are coming from the animal itself. He shechted the animal. Okay. Now, perhaps the Nizak would have preferred the animal alive and well. But ultimately, when all is said and done, it's the same animal. It's just that instead of being alive, now the animal's dead. Gemara's question is, okay, pass over the animal now from the mazik over to the nizak. Ditanya, and in fact, the Gemara says we have a brisa supporting this very point. Chai en li'ala chai. The Torah, when describing the short time being handed over to the nizak, the Torah describes it as being a live animal. I might have thought that the only way that he satisfies his obligation is only if the animal's alive. Shechtu minayin. How do I know that if the mazik shechts the animal, which he should not have done, but if he did, how do I know Tamalama Machros Ashor Mikomakom? The additional words in the Pasuk of Machros Ashor means to tell us that even if you shechted the animal, that shechted animal could serve as payment. So Amar Rav Shizbi, so the Gemara says, so basically now, so why can the animal be shechted animal be used as payment? So the Gemara says, you're right, you're absolutely right. The shechted animal could be used as payment, and furthermore, even the pechash chita, the animal alive and the animal shechted are obviously going to have a difference in price. And this is an interesting halacha. The mazik could say to the nizak, I know the animal, while it was alive, was appraised a certain amount. And here's what happened. I shechted the animal. Okay, sorry. But it shechted, though, so you can eat it. And I know it is less in value, but you know what? Here it is. And enjoy. And Rashi writes that. Just one second. And Rashi writes the pchashchita mashenifkasu dama b'shchita so ein hamazik mishalim. And even though it's going to obviously be less in value as a shechted animal, but still the mazik says to the nizak, I'm sorry. I don't know how good an apology is going to be. I don't know how well the apology is going to go over. But I'm sorry, but here it is. And the mazik can get away with this. Shouldn't have done it, but he can get away with it. Now, I'm Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua. Ben, I'll come back to you. Just give me a moment. I'm Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua. Zos Ameres Hamazik Hamazik Shibudu Shel Chaver Pater. Now, basically, this takes us now to the following discussion. And that is, he shouldn't have shechted the animal. The mazik should not have shechted the animal. And in doing so, he damaged the shibud of his friend. And in general, let's say I damaged something that doesn't belong to somebody, but he has a lien in it. So I'm not directly causing him damage, but indirectly I'm doing so. This is the topic of grama, which we come back to time and again throughout our masechta. So what I'm doing is wrong. Let's call it usur. But am I going to be financially liable? So generally speaking, by grama, the answer is no. Now, to be a little bit more nuanced over here, this is not exactly grama. This is something where the Gemara would put more in the category of garmi, because I am damaging, but I'm not damaging something that is directly owned by you. Indirectly, it's owned by you because you have a lien on the item. So am I going to be liable? So right now, our Gemara is taking the position, no, I'm not going to be liable. I'm not going to be financially liable. So that's true. When my animal, my short tom now, after the damage, it's meshuba to the nizak, and I shecht it. Now again, I shouldn't have done that. But am I financially liable? The Gemara is saying no. Similarly, if I damage any shibud that's owned, that is not owned by somebody, but somebody has a lien in, am I going to be responsible for those damages? The Gemara is now saying no. Now, the Gemara says pshita, and the Gemara says it's obvious. Meaning, what's obvious? Meaning, after you've learned the case of the mazik shechting his animal, so then the next step is just a logical extension. What's pashut over here is, once I know A, then I'm for sure going to know B. So the Gemara says, no, ma'adutema ha'asam hud amalei, lo chasartech v'lo midi. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could have made the following distinction. In the case of the mazik shechting the animal, the mazik could say that to the nizak, like, really, what did I do? I just took the winds out of the animal. Meaning, it's the same animal physically, just happens to be that before it was alive and now it's dead. Now, you and I are looking at the Gemara and you and I are saying, that's more than just wind. Right, there's a huge difference between being a live animal versus being a dead animal. But the Gemara is just constructing a havamina in terms of what we could have seen as a difference between the case of the mazik shechting his animal before giving it to the nizak and me doing actual physical damage to something which is meshubad. But if I'm actually damaging something with a shibud, Rashi gives the example. Let's say it's karka. Karka is generally speaking what serves as a shibud. And let's say I go over to land and I start digging holes in the land and I'm causing actual damage to the land. So maybe, again, havamina, I could have seen the difference between the two. So what the point the Gemara is making is, no, once I know that shechting an animal, I am not liable for the shechting of the animal, so when I generally damage something with a shibud, so I'm not going to be responsible to the owner of the shibud. One more second. Hanami Rabba Amra. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me now that we're basically all learning together that if I damage not somebody's asset, but someone's potential asset, so then because it's not direct damage, so therefore I'm going to be pater. Gemara says this is something that was said by Rabba. Now, even though Rabba's an Amora, and usually the Gemara doesn't say, oh, but you know Rabba said something, and therefore it must be correct. But Rashi over here points out, Rabba was an Adam Chashuv, and so the Rashi says, the Gemara will do this occasionally. So Rav or Rabba, meaning when Rav or Rabba, and I don't know who else falls in this very short list, but when you have such an acclaimed Amora saying something, so the Gemara says, so we can ask Akasha. So the Gemara says, Da'ame Rabba sarv sharoso shechaver patur. He says, if I burn somebody's IOU, so then I'm going to be exempt, because what I burnt is not money. What I burnt is a way for a person to collect money, but it's not actual money itself. So again, this falls under the category of, now again, the simplest way to say it is grama, but really the more nuanced way to say it is garmi. I damaged not the actual asset itself, but something that is used to collect the asset. So the Gemara says, Ma'u detem ha'asum damalei, ni'ar bi'ama, kalai minach. Now the Gemara says, in the case of burning someone's shtar, if I burn somebody's IOU, so then I could say to him, what did I burn? I burnt a piece of paper. How much was the piece of paper worth? A couple pennies, here you go. But if I'm destroying somebody's property, but again, it's not his property. He has a shibud in that property. So it's not currently to him a real asset, but it could become a real asset to his. So I might have thought that's different because I'm really causing major destruction. So kamash malan. So had dahacha kaman dechafer babar shirch namaros dami. So the Gemara says that that's exactly the point. That even though I'm doing something that is terribly destructive, but ultimately the two cases are comparable with one another, we're not going to make a distinction between the burning somebody's shtar versus the destroying of a property and the shechting of an animal. In all three of those cases, I am not destroying somebody's assets. I'm only destroying a shibud, somebody shibud, and for that, even though it's wrong, even though it's usur, I'm not going to be financially liable. Okay, yeah, Ben.
I just want to clarify something. If the animal is a tom, and the mazik did $50 worth of damage to the animal, right? And his animal is worth $50. Half of it is $50.
Right.
And he shechs it, then becomes $30, right? Because he shechs it. So he's not going to be responsible for the $50. He just gives $50 even though he intentionally caused the damage.
By shechting the animal, even though the animal is going to go down in value, so he is not going to be responsible for that difference.
And he's going to be capped at the $30 that he goes down. Even though he intentionally realized...
Well, it's going to be capped at the original... In other words, the amount that's going to be capped at is going to be the original price. But what he's not going to have to do is, let's say he had $50 worth of damage to pay, he doesn't have to pay the $20 difference between the animal being alive versus the animal being shechted.
Even though he intentionally...
Yeah, right. Right. And again, it's wrong, it's usur, but he's not financially liable because he's not damaging someone's actual property. It's just that he has a shibud on that property. Okay, let's go on. Kidmu
b'alei chovos
v'igbu
b'in chava.
It's
because of
Rama. Right.
Not because it's potential.
Well, it's...
It could be actual, but also be Rama.
Well, that's why Garmi is probably the better way to say it, as opposed to Grama. Meaning he's actually causing damage. It's just that he's not causing damage to someone's actual property. It's only to someone's lien in that property that he's damaging.
And if you cause damage through Garmi, to actual property?
Well, then if you're causing damage, then it's not Garmi, then it's Nezek. It's Nezek B'Yadayim. And then you'd have to pay. But over here, it's not the person's actual property. He the Nizak, only has a shibud in the animal. And so, yeah, it's... Every example of Garmi and Grum in the Gemara is, you know, the guy's doing wrong, but that's just the...
The Gemara doesn't make a distinction if you own the property or if it's potential. If you release a flood, and the second gal goes into the damage...
Okay, so that's Grumma, right. So those are cases of Grumma, where I'm causing damage to somebody's property, but I'm not directly doing it, I'm indirectly doing it. So that's Grumma. Here,
even though it's his person's property, there's no
distinction. Yeah. They're right there. That's Grumma. Here, I'm actually doing damage, but what I'm not doing is damage to some of. He doesn't own it. What he looks forward to is that in the event of default, he'll collect from it. And again, we're assuming the author of the Brice is Rabbi Shmuel. You see, if the author of the Brice is Rabbi Kiva, then this whole discussion falls away, because according to Rabbi Kiva, the Nizek actually owns the animal. So then you're actually destroying my property. Okay. Mashas kidmu bale chovos v'igviu. We are towards the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. And we are still picking apart the Braisa line by line. And here we are now at the point of the Braisa where the Braisa says when it comes to a tam, it does not matter. In other words, the Mazik has creditors. And also the Nizak, who now looks to get paid. And if in the event the creditors come and take the animal, the Nizak can go over to the creditors and say, thank you very much, we're going to take it away from you. And the Braisa went on to say, and it doesn't matter what the order was between the outstanding obligation versus the actual Nezak. And the Gemara quotes. So, kidmo balechovas v'igbu ben chav achelo hizik ben hizik achelo chav lo asav lo klum. He has done nothing. Lefi she'ein mashalim ela migufo, because you only pay migufo. Now bishlama hizik achelo chav nizak in kidmo. So the Gemara says, I understand the point of the brisa in the event that the nezik happens first. If the nezik happens first, so then the nizak can legitimately turn to the creditors and say, hey, me first. I was first in line. You were behind me. You can't cut me in line. I get that part. However, but the Gemara says, and furthermore, I'm sorry, I didn't mean the furthermore. I just happened to know what's coming up ahead. So, but in the event where the Balei Chov are first, if the Balei Chov are first, so then, how can the Nizak say to the Baal Chov, me first? Meaning the Baal Chov were literally first in line. Meaning with every mortgage, you have a first mortgage, you have a second mortgage, you have a third mortgage. So, right, where's Alan when I need him? But when in the second mortgage and the third mortgage, they can't collect before the first mortgage holder. So over here, if the Baal Chov are first, how can the Nizak say to the Baal Chov, you know, it's okay. I'll help myself to it. The Baal Chov literally is first in line. The Afilu Hizik, we're now in the top of Lamed Lamed Aleph. And furthermore, the Afilu Hizik Ashlo Chav, Baal Chov Kadem. And even if the Nezik comes first, so you don't want to tell me that the Baal Chov can come and take. Shema Mina, Baal Chov Meuchar Shekadem Vegaba Mashagava Lo Gava. The Gemara over here is making reference to the Gemara in Ksuvas. The Gemara in Ksuvas has a machlokas. If you are a second mortgage holder, and you step in and you grab. So is your grabbing going to be successful or not? Is Basin going to say to you, look, you were second in line, someone was in front of you, I know you're owed, but so is he, and he was there first, he was in line first, so are we going to take from the second and give it back to the first? So the Gemara says, this is a machlokas in Ksuvos. And knowing the machlokas in Ksuvos, is our Gemara taking a stake on this issue? So, look, the Gemara says no. Meaning, as far as the Gemara in Ksuvos is concerned, whether or not a second mortgage holder can come and take before the first mortgage holder, so the Gemara says, leave that as a machlokas. Meaning, that's the Gemara in Ksuvos, and leave that sugya out of this discussion. Over here, if you have the Niza coming and taking the animal, his taking of the animal is always legitimate, even if he's second in line. And having nothing to do with the Gemara Ksuvos. Shani Hasam, Da Amrlei, Ilu Gabach, Hava Ka Minach, Ilu Gabach, Hava Lo Minach, Hu Gabe, Lay? A rhetorical question. In other words, when it comes to the Nizak, he's always entitled to the animal. Because the Nizak says to the Mazik, look, it's a short tom. And how is the short tom paid? Migufo. And even though, as we pointed out, the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shmuel, but this Shibud is different than other Shibudim. Because this Shibud allows the Nizek to collect from the animal itself. And even if the Baal Chov come and to take that animal, still the Nizek says, look, this is a short tom, I collect migufo, I take from you. So this case is fundamentally different. Da'itur da'askan mi ne'mish da'mana. Because in terms of the Nezek is coming out of the animal itself. So the Gemara says, fine. The machlokas in Ksuvos, leave the machlokas in Ksuvos alone. This case is different. Right. Right. It's a you know, good modern example. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Shor Shava Masayim Shinaga, Shor Shava Masayim. Okay. The Braisa from here until the Mishnah is going to be a little bit complicated because basically we're going to be talking about appreciation, depreciation of the animal. And we're also going to be looking at two different animals. We're going to be looking at the animal of the Mazik and the animal of the Nizak. So let's just try to focus. Shor Shava Masayim Shinaga, Shor Shava Masayim. So we have the, everything starts the same. Both animals are valued at 200. V'chava bo b'chamishim zuz. So now 50 zuz of damage was done from the Mazik to the Nizak. And v'shavach v'amad al arba meos zuz. Now the animal went from, this is now the Nizak, the damaged animal. The animal went from 150, and for reasons which we'll explore a little bit later on, it went from 150 all the way up to 400. Okay. And so the Mazik will say to the Nizak like this, look, I'm really sorry for the damages, but, you know, you're in pretty good financial shape. Meaning, yes, it's true. My animal damaged yours. No disagreement. And yes, it's true. It went down 50 zuz. But then it shot up to 400. So you know what? You're doing great. I'm going to walk away now. And to which the Braisa says, he cannot. Because what you can argue is the following. Yes, the Nizak's animal appreciated to 400 zuz. But imagine had it not been damaged. Imagine what it would have gone to. Gemara says it could have gone up to 800 zuz. Meaning that even though there was an appreciation subsequent to the damage, there would have been even a greater appreciation had it not been for the damage itself. So therefore, you assess the 50 zuz. Nosim b'shas ha-nezek. I'm sorry. Shmonas me'am zuz. Nosim k'shas ha-nezek. And therefore, there's a payment requirement, and that is k'shas ha-nezek. Meaning, at the time of the damage, since 50 zuz of damage has occurred, that's how much the mazik needs to pay the nizak. Kichesh. Now, let's say the animal goes down in value. So again, let's start with the same numbers. Animal was valued at 200. 50 zuz of damage was occurred, so now the animal, immediately after Nezik, went down to 150. But we didn't go to court right away. We went to court a little bit later. And by the time we went to court, the animal continued to go down, and now the animal is 100 zuz. So here the Brisa says, Kichesh kishas hamada bedin. If it goes down, so then in terms of assessing the damages, we look at hamada bedin. At hamada bedin, the animal was, at Nezik, the animal was down at 150. At hamada bedin, the animal was down at 100. So now the assessment is 100 zuz worth of damage. Okay. We're going to explain. Shevach mazik nosin lo kishas hanezek. Now, let's say we're going to do the same thing again, but here and now we're going to talk about appreciation, depreciation of the animal of the mazik. Now, shevach mazik nosin lo kishas hanezek. So if, let's say, the animal, meaning the animal of the mazik, went up in value, so then, in terms of assessing damages, you assess damage at the time of the nezek. Kichesh kishas hamad beden. But if the animal of the mazik went down in value, so then you look at hamad beden. Okay. That second part I'm going to leave right now unresolved. The Gemara is going to resolve it momentarily. Here we go, once again, quoting a Braisa, and now we're going to go through the Braisa step by step. Here, the Gemara looks to assign who the author of the Braisa is, as opposed to the previous Braisa, where we had the Rishonim tell us who the author of the Braisa is. But here the Gemara speaks it out. Amar. Shevach mazik nosin kishas hanezek. So, if the damaging animal goes up in value, so you pay at the time of nezek, at the time of damage. So, money Rabbi Shmuel here damar balchov hu vezuzi hu demaskei lei. Gemara says that clearly is siding with Rabbi Shmuel, because remember, if you are subscribing to Rabbi Akiva, that means the moment the damage happens, so you have now a partnership in that animal of both the mazik and the nizak. The nizak becomes an owner. He becomes an actual shareholder in that animal. So if you're a shareholder in that animal, so if your stock goes up and you're a shareholder, so that means that's good for you. So if we are saying that when it comes to the appreciation of the animal, that's the mazik's animal, and it goes up, and the Braisa says, and as far as assessing damage, back to the time of Nezek, clearly that's siding with Rabbi Shmuel, not siding with Rabbi Akiva. The Nizak is not a shareholder in that animal. And if the animal goes up in value, the Nizak does not get to benefit from that appreciated value. Fine. Ema Seifa. But move on now to the next part of the Braisa, which is Kichesh Kishas Amad Bedin. That if the animal goes down in value, well now the Nizak has to suffer the loss. And look. And let me just read the Gemara first. Also on the Rabbi Akiva. Dama Shut Feininu. So that is clearly siding with Rabbi Akiva, which means that the partners. Look, if I own shares in any equity, so if it goes up in value, so that means I benefited. And if it goes down in value, I suffer the loss. And over here, the Braisa seems to be giving us a split decision. If it goes up in value, oh, then it's the Mazik's. If it goes down in value, or we say to the Nizak, I'm really sorry, but your animal lost money. Well, that doesn't sound like, am I a shareholder? Am I not a shareholder? So Reisha Rabbi Shmuel v'Sefer Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara now asks the question, is that how it's going to work? That the beginning of the Braisa is holding like Rabbi Shmuel, the second part of the Braisa is holding like Rabbi Akiva. Lo, kula Rabbi Akiva hi v'achah b'maizkinan. So the Gemara says, no, really the truth of the matter is that the entire Braisa is like Rabbi Akiva, which means that at the point of Nezek, both Mazik and Nizak now are shareholders in the animal. And so, you certainly understand the second half of the Braisa. How do you understand the first half of the Braisa? Where if the animal goes up in value, so that Nizak doesn't benefit from that appreciated value, isn't he a shareholder? So the Gemara says, Kishapitmo. So the Gemara says, where the Braisa is speaking about a specific scenario in which the Mazik fed and fattened the animal. And there, the Mazik will say, yes, the animal appreciated, but that's all a function of me. That wasn't market value appreciation. That was me appreciation. That was just simply me taking my food and fattening the animal. So that's all a consequence of me. So So the Gemara says, interesting. Now, if this is the case we're talking about, where the Shevach is coming as a result of the fattening of the animal, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to the Braisa. We're going to go back to the first half of the Braisa. And let's think about this. In the first half of the Braisa, we were talking about appreciation, depreciation of the animal of the Nizak. Let's consider. Shevach va'aman al dad me'azuz, nosin lo kishas hanezek. Now, remember in the first half of the Braisa, We talked about where the Nizak's animal appreciated in value. It was damaged. It was at 200 at the time of Nezek. It went down to 150 because of the Nezek. And then subsequently, it went up to 400. And remember, the first half of the Braisa, the Nizak says to the Mazik, look, you're still going to pay me the 50. Now, I know it's up to 400, but had your animal not damaged my animal, could have gone up to 800. So the Gemara says, now let's think this through. Because we explained in the second half of the Braisa that the appreciation was as a result of the feeding of the animal. So we always like consistency in a Braisa. If the second half of the Braisa is talking about feeding, first half of the Braisa has also got to be talking about feeding as well. So consider. Now, in the first half of the Braisa where the animal appreciated in value, are we not talking about a case where the Nizak fattened the animal himself? Meaning he was the one who fed the animal. And so now, the Braisa is not saying any chiddush whatsoever. What's the Braisa telling us? That the animal's damage went from 200 down to 150, and then it jumped up to 400. And do you know why it jumped to 400? Because the Nizak, for whatever reason, decided, now's a wonderful time to fatten my animal. And he threw food into the animal to fatten it. So here, of course the Mazik can't say to the Nizak, hey, look at your animal go up in value. The Nizak said, of course it went up in value. I fed the animal. Why do you think it went up in value? It's because of me. And the problem the Gemara has right now is that now at this point in time, the Braisa literally saying nothing. The Braisa is not saying any chiddush whatsoever. So Amar Papa Reisha Mishkachala Bein De Pitma Petimi Bein De Shavcha Mimela. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what we'll say. We'll say then the first half of the Braisa, when we're talking about the appreciation of the animal, the Nizak, it doesn't matter why it appreciated in value. Either the owner found it himself, or it was just simple market value appreciation. And the chiddush is going to be not when he found it himself, because then there's no chiddush. The chiddush is going to be when there was market value appreciation. Still, the Nizak can say to the Mazik, I know it's worth more than when you damaged it, but it would have gone up even more. And that's a chiddush. And that's what the Braisa wanted to tell us. And Seifa la Mishkacha la Ela Kishet Pitmo. So the Gemara says, now when you get to the Seifa of the Mishnah, of this Braisa, and again, reminder, author of the Braisa is Rabbi Kiva. When you get to the Seifa of the Braisa, so here it's only going to work out, meaning, when do we ignore the appreciation of the animal, the appreciation of the Mazik's animal? Only when the Mazik himself fattened the animal. Because then he says to the Nizak, look, yes, you're a shareholder in the animal, but that appreciation, that wasn't market value appreciation. That was just simply me feeding the animal. That's the second half of the Braisa. Kichesh kishas amada bedin. Kichesh machmas mai. And we are just going to finish up now the last part of the Braisa. The animal devaluated, depreciated. The Gemara says, now why did the animal depreciate? If we're talking about where the Nizak's animal went down in value because the Nizak decided after the damage, now I got to work the animal. And he worked it to the bone or something short thereof. So under those circumstances, now the Mazik can legitimately say to the Nizak, wait 1 second. Yes, my animal did damage to you. But the subsequent damage, that's a you problem. You're the one who worked the animal and worked it to the bone and created more depreciation. I shouldn't be on the hook for that. So the Gemara says this, and Danny, this answers your question that you asked earlier. This is a case in which the Mazik is going to be responsible, not for just the initial damage, but subsequent damage as well, in that we're talking about a case where the Nizak says to the Mazik, look, your animal damaged my animal, and the effect was not seen immediately. But rather, reading the language of the Gemara, Dekachesh Machas Makar, Da Amalei, Karna de Terech, Kvira Bey. The horn is buried in my animal. Now, I'm not sure if the Gemara means that super literally, in which there were like actual parts of the horn that were still stuck in the animal, or the Gemara could just be understood as the effects of the damage are continuing, and the depreciation is continuing, and as a result of that, the further devaluation of the animal is a result of the impact, of the original impact, and that's why you are going to be paying me not just the Nezek at the time of Nezek, but even up to Hamad Abedin.
Is that garbage?
No. But, you're right. I just want to sharpen your question, meaning I do like your question. Meaning like by Aish, we discussed earlier, right? The subsequent cause of damage by Aish. Is that Chifzo, is that Mamono here? Right. The subsequent damage that occurs, so is it something comparable to Aish in that regard? And it could be, you're right, it could be the way you formulate the question also is good. But, right, the Gemara does not seem so. The Gemara says that this is a really reasonable argument. Okay, I'll stop over here. Tomorrow in the Mishnah, we're going to just, we're going to try to learn simple pshat in the Pesukim in the Torah. Machlokes Tanayim. How to learn simple pshat in the Pesukim. Okay, well, that's what we'll continue with tomorrow.